Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 8th. Section A. NFWF awards third grant to BRI for grasslands restoration work. The National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, NFWF, has awarded a third six-figure grant to the Borderlands Research Institute, BRI, for a grassland enhancement project in Marfa and Marathon. The funds will be matched dollar for dollar by private sources, including funds from landowners and dollars raised by BRI, doubling the impact of the grant. The recently approved $250,000 grant was preceded by two similar grants in 2018 and 2019. This year's project will continue brush management activities in the Marfa and Marathon grasslands of West Texas to improve grassland health and provide habitat for pronghorn and migratory grassland birds. Brush management will be conducted on 5,000 acres of brush-invaded grassland. Once the affected areas are treated, BRI researchers will monitor response to treatments and develop region-specific science-driven management recommendations. Our work to restore grasslands in the Marfa Plateau and Marathon Basin is critical for improving habitats for pronghorn, wintering grassland birds, and other grassland-dependent species, Lewis Harvison said, who is the Dan Allen Hughes Jr. BRI Endowed Director and Regents Professor of Wildlife Management at Sol Ross State University. We are grateful that NFWF and their industry partners have made a significant commitment to the conservation of the Borderlands region, and we are also thankful to the private landowners who are facilitating this important research. Restoring grassland habitat involves changing the vegetation community from brush-dominated communities to open grasslands with higher diversity and quantity of grasses and forbs. Improving the health of the grassland ecosystem will help pronghorn and grassland birds. In addition, there are other expected benefits such as higher water infiltration and reduction of soil erosion, which will benefit many more wildlife species. Healthy ecosystems are the backbone of any successful wildlife management practice, and these research projects will provide the information necessary to making informed land management recommendations, Carlos Lalo Gonzalez said, who is Assistant Professor of Natural Resource Management and the now Endowed Professor in Habitat Research and Management at BRI. We're hoping we will have some results to share with land managers through graduate research projects that are currently underway, which will be completed later this year. The grant is funded through NFWF's Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative, which supports conservation projects in the Pecos River watershed, an area that extends from eastern New Mexico into West Texas and comprises a large portion of the energy-rich Permian Basin. The initiative identifies strategic conservation opportunities and works to enhance and restore the natural resources and wildlife habitat in the region. The Pecos Watershed Conservation Initiative is a partnership between NFWF, Apache Corporation, Chevron, Marathon Oil, Noble Energy, Occidental Petroleum, Shell Oil Company, XTO Energy Incorporated, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service in New Mexico and Texas. Obituaries, NSD, July 8th. Tracy Allen Brown. Tracy Allen Brown, 61, of Odessa, passed away July 4th. He was born in Long Beach, California, March 13th. He is preceded in death by his parents, Margaret Owens, Jim Owens, and Troy Brown, his brother Wayne Owens, sister-in-laws Joanne McCown and Wendy Tevdovich, and a grandson, Trevor Brown. He is survived by his wife, Carrie Brown, children Travis Brown, Trina Brown, Brian McHogan Capwell, and husband T.G., Amanda Kreutzer and husband Jerry, and Chelsea Owens. Three grandchildren, ex-wife and best friend Kathy Brown, his siblings Shelley Smith, Jackie Eaton, Lee Clark and husband Kevin, Pam Whitmore, Val Lowe and husband Dub, and Bruce Wheeler and wife Sonia, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. Visitation will be Thursday, July 9th from 1 to 9 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. Memorial services will be scheduled at a later date. Leonardo Leo Gutierrez. Leonardo Leo Gutierrez, 28, of Odessa, passed away July 4th. He was born Saturday, January 4th, 1992, in Odessa, to Robert and Belinda Gutierrez. Surviving him are his wife, Lucero Marquez, daughters Jolynn Gutierrez and Janelle Gutierrez, a son, Nathaniel Ariola, his parents, Robert and Belinda Gutierrez, brothers, Jesus Chuy Rivera, Robert Gutierrez Jr. and Paul Gutierrez, sister Annabelle Luna and Isabel Gutierrez, as well as six nephews, two nieces, four great-nephews, and two great-nieces. He was preceded in death by his aunt, Christina Gutierrez, uncle, George Rodriguez, and sisters-in-law, Valerie and Margie Gutierrez. Visitation will begin at 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 8th at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Rosary will be said at 7 p.m. Thursday, July 9th at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, July 10th at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. And burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. William Evans Jackson. William Evans Jackson, 87, of Odessa, passed away June 28th. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, July 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Karen Carlson officiating. William was born in Merkle to Andrew M. Jackson and Maggie Mae Anderson, March 3rd, 1933. He married Margie Lee White. He is preceded in death by his parents and is survived by his wife Margie, sons John Jackson and Tom Jackson, as well as three grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To sign the guest book, please go to www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Yanely Bernal, Dallas, Texas. Yanely Bernal, 14, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 2nd, in Dallas. Mass was celebrated Wednesday, June 8th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church, and burial followed at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section, with Father Tony Franco officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Jose E. Lopez. Jose E. Lopez, 65, died Saturday, July 4th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez, 83, died Friday, July 3rd in Lubbock. services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Bertha M. Medrano. Bertha M. Medrano, 75, died Monday, July 6th. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Georgie Lee Russell. Georgie Lee Russell, 90, of Odessa, died Saturday, July 4th. A chapel service was held July 8th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, and burial was in the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Sisto V. Saiz. Sisto V. Saiz, 83, of Odessa, died Sunday, July 5th in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. July 15th at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, July 3rd, 2020. Water Lecture Series coming up. The West Texas Water Institute will host a virtual water lecture series from 10 to 11:30 a.m. July 10th on Microsoft Teams. The speaker will be Gerardo Rivera, Chief Operating Officer of H2O Midstream. The topic will be Environmental, Social, and Governance, or ESG. While the water midstream sector is relatively new, ESG has been around for decades, according to the event flyer. Formed in 2016, H2O was founded on the vision that water should be treated as a commodity and not a waste, the flyer said. H2O has been able to grow its business while incorporating the important factors of ESG investing. Rivera has 34 years of domestic and international experience in the energy sector, including 23 years with ConocoPhillips, where he began his career. At ConocoPhillips, Rivera had management assignments in the upstream and midstream sectors with exposure to multiple commodities: natural gas, NGLs, LNG, crude oil, and heavy oil. His leadership positions focused on operations, engineering, project execution, and business and commercial development, the flyer said. Prior to joining H2O Midstream, Rivera served as officer and management roles at South Cross Energy and Vermilion Energy. At South Cross, he was vice president of NGL marketing with P&L, operational and business development responsibilities for the NGL business unit. At Vermilion Energy, a Canadian-based international E&P company, Rivera served in various leadership roles over corporate and strategic planning, global marketing for crude, natural gas, and NGLs, and mergers and acquisitions. Gerardo holds a chemical engineering degree from Texas A&M University.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American, Monday, July 6th. Cooking it up. Historic barbecue open again. Businesses still making a go of it during pandemic. By Michael Bauer. After going through 3 months of being shut down due to the pandemic, Sam's Barbecue has since opened back up. The restaurant, located on East 7th Street, just off Dixie Boulevard, opened back up on June 22nd, and owner Tiki Davis says it's great to be back in business. "It's great for the community," Davis said. "We want everyone to come out, and it's a part of Odessa. It's a part of West Texas. Even though we don't make much money, it's given my employees a paycheck. It's a good feeling to come back." Sam's Barbecue has been around since 1981. The restaurant was started by Willie Hammond, and Davis bought it about 6 years ago. "The reason I bought Sam's Barbecue is that it's a traditionally black business," Davis says. A lot of black businesses in Odessa were failing or dying off. I felt like it was a responsibility for me to buy the restaurant and to keep it going. Sam's Barbecue has been a staple in the Permian Basin since its opening. A second location is in Midland, but is in the process of being rebuilt after burning in a fire 2 years ago. I started out in Midland, Davis says. That restaurant burned down on Easter Sunday 2 years ago. Now we're in litigation with the insurance, trying to get that restaurant rebuilt. Davis added that the restaurant business can be very tricky. The restaurant business is a very tough business, Davis said, especially the mom-and-pop business, so I really do need the support of the community and to not stop coming. The restaurant is built on the legs of the community. I just got into it as a hobby because I was making my money as an oil and gas engineer. We also built homes for the underprivileged. I got into as a hobby, and then it turned into a thing of love. As Sam's Barbecue returns to business, Davis said they have been offering different specials. We've done an essential workers 10% off on certain days, or over 65 10% off for a combo meal, Davis said. We're trying to offer specials to get people to come in. Catfish has been another special menu item. Friday is our catfish special, Davis said. A lot of times, people may not eat pork, so we want to give them an option. It's a big option for Catholics during Lent. But another hot item is the combination dinner. You get two ribs, you get two pieces of chicken, and maybe four pieces of sausage and brisket, potato salad and beans, Davis said. It's a combo item. You get a taste of everything. Another hot item is our burgers. They are really good, and our chopped beef sandwiches. Just like with everyone else, they've been staying up to code with social distancing guidelines. Basically, what we've been doing, our cooks have been wearing their masks, Davis said. When people come in, we try to sit them on different sides of the restaurant. We haven't had a packed house since reopening. We haven't had any issues. We also have the drive-thru that drums up business. We clean the restrooms and wipe down everything with sanitizer to keep up with state regulations. Lily Jones, one of the eight employees at the restaurant, has made sure of that. We don't want to be in a pandemic, Jones said. We want to make sure that everyone is safe and clean and that we comply with the city ordinance. We've been practicing social distancing here. Every table is sanitized and we're making sure that the windows are cleaned. We don't want to be a part of the problem. We want to be a part of the solution.
Health and wellness. MMH Achieves Orthopedic Center of Excellence. Sherry Phillips, Midland Health. Midland Memorial Hospital and the Total Joint and Spine Center are proud to announce we received initial certification for our spine surgery program and also received the Orthopedic Center of Excellence designation. After the annual DNV surveys last month, we also received certifications for our hip and knee replacement program and shoulder surgery programs. We obtained the initial DNV certification for our hip and knee replacement program in 2016 and for the shoulder surgery program in 2019. DNV Orthopedic Center of Excellence designation is obtained by achieving certification for three different orthopedic programs. These certifications provide validation that MMH and the Total Joint and Spine Center meet or exceed standards with regard to providing high-quality, safe patient care to those who undergo elective total hip, knee, shoulder, and complex elective spine surgeries. We feel these achievements are monumental for the community, and our hope is they will instill confidence that patients can remain in Midland for these procedures rather than driving to Dallas or San Antonio. It is extremely exciting to say Midland Memorial Hospital is the only hospital in the West Texas area to achieve this prestigious designation. The next closest hospitals are in Addison and Houston. Our medical directors are Dr. Jesse Dickens, Hip, Knee, and Shoulder Replacement Programs, and Dr. Shrikanth Demi, Spine Surgery Program. Other participating orthopedic physicians include Dr. Ryan Rowland and Dr. W. Gage Leisman. We are anticipating another orthopedic surgeon to join us in the fall. One of our neurosurgeons has moved. However, we expect additional neurosurgeons to join our spine program in the near future. Midland Memorial and the Total Joint and Spine Center are also proud to announce we now have robotic-assisted spine and knee replacement surgery available. The use of robotic surgery provides our neuro and orthopedic surgeons with the opportunity to give our patients a more personalized surgical plan based on their actual anatomy. This is achieved with the use of a preoperative CT scan of the surgical area and uploading the images to the robot, giving the surgeons a 3D model to work with. MMH acquired the state-of-the-art Mazer X Stealth Edition spine robot in December. Spinal robotic surgery assists a neurosurgeon by allowing for easier and safer navigation of delicate spinal structures, minimally invasive pedicle screw placement, and less time for patients to be under general anesthesia. Dr. Demi has performed a total of 15 spinal robotic surgeries to date. Last month, we received our Stryker Mako joint robot and began robotic-assisted knee replacements this week. The Stryker Mako joint robot allows orthopedic surgeons to make more precise cuts, permitting more accurate placement and adjustment of the joint implant. This will reduce the amount of soft tissue destruction which occurs with traditional knee replacement. Use of the robot also enables us to do more partial knee and patellofemoral knee replacements. As a result, both spine and knee replacement surgery patients should experience faster recovery, less discomfort, fewer potential postoperative complications, and a decreased length of stay. Care at the Total Joint and Spine Center is provided by a dedicated staff of nurses, patient care assistants, or staff physical occupational therapists, social workers, and other ancillary personnel who possess specific training, knowledge, and skills required to care for this patient population. Each of our programs is built upon evidence-based practices and clinical pathways and follows national guidelines, standards of practice recommended by organizations such as the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. The ultimate goal of each of our programs is patient optimization and continual performance improvement to ensure our patients have the best outcomes possible by regaining function, reducing pain, restoring mobility, and ultimately improving their quality of life. Total Joint and Spine Center staff collaborate with the surgeons' offices to ensure all preoperative testing, medical clearances, education, patient, family, and discharge planning is completed before surgery. Preoperative education classes for total joint and elective spine surgery are mandatory. While some may feel this is unnecessary, literature shows preoperative education classes to be beneficial by reducing anxiety, improving patient-family understanding, increasing overall satisfaction, and help to prevent unnecessary ER visits post-operatively. Each patient receives an education binder which addresses FAQs and provides a valuable resource for them once they return home. Because of COVID-19, classes currently are being conducted online and by phone. The staff of the Total Joint and Spine Center are frequently recognized by our patients and their families for the care and attention they receive. As clinical manager for the Total Joint and Spine Center, I can say without hesitation the community of Midland is fortunate to have these programs and such an amazing team in place. I'm very proud to work alongside them. Our programs would not be as successful as they are without each and every one of them. It's unhealthy to continue reliving a disruptive event. Yvette V. Rodriguez, Samaritan Counseling Center. Life is full of twists and turns, unexpected road hazards, and speed bumps. How we handle these surprise events can affect our day-to-day life. People are generally resilient, but sometimes life hits us so hard that it is difficult to recover. Many people say, just get up and move on, or dust yourself off. Some might even say, why can't you just get over it? The question remains, how does one simply get over what to you seems like a disaster? First, remember that what you are going through is real to you, although some friends and family may think it is not a big deal. It is a major event that happened to you, and there are some people who do not understand. Find people who are able to help you cope with whatever you are trying to handle. Second, do not get stuck reliving the disrupting event. It is okay to look at the situation as a problem to solve if you are seeking a solution. If you continue reflecting on what occurred without seeking a solution, the fretting becomes unhealthy. So look at what occurred as a problem. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this situation? Will it matter in a few days or a few years? How can I change it so it can be better next time? Finally, make a list of the things you enjoy doing. If you find yourself frequently contemplating what happened, look at your list and do something entertaining that will help you get out of the pessimistic thought process. Focus on the positive. Is that not better than sitting and fixating on the negative? Yvette V. Rodriguez is an LPC intern at Samaritan Counseling Center. To contact Samaritan Counseling Center, call 561-4144. Health and Wellness, MMH Achieves Orthopedic Center of Excellence, Sherry Phillips, Midland Health. Midland Memorial Hospital and the Total Joint and Spine Center are proud to announce we received initial certification for our spine surgery program and also received the Orthopedic Center of Excellence designation. After the annual DNV surveys last month, we also received certifications for our hip and knee replacement program and shoulder surgery programs. We obtained the initial DNV certification for our hip and knee replacement program in 2016 and for the shoulder surgery program in 2019. DNV Orthopedic Center of Excellence designation is obtained by achieving certification for three different orthopedic programs. These certifications provide validation that MMH and the Total Joint and Spine Center meet or exceed standards with regard to providing high-quality, safe patient care to those who undergo elective total hip, knee, shoulder, and complex elective spine surgeries. We feel these achievements are monumental for the community, and our hope is they will instill confidence that patients can remain in Midland for these procedures rather than driving to Dallas or San Antonio. It is extremely exciting to say Midland Memorial Hospital is the only hospital in the West Texas area to achieve this prestigious designation. The next closest hospitals are in Addison and Houston. Our medical directors are Dr. Jesse Dickens, Hip, Knee, and Shoulder Replacement Programs, and Dr. Srikanth Dimi, Spine Surgery Program. Other participating orthopedic physicians include Dr. Ryan Rowland and Dr. W. Gage Leisman. We are anticipating another orthopedic surgeon to join us in the fall. One of our neurosurgeons has moved. However, we expect additional neurosurgeons to join our spine program in the near future. Midland Memorial and the Total Joint and Spine Center are also proud to announce we now have robotic-assisted spine and knee replacement surgery available. The use of robotic surgery provides our neuro and orthopedic surgeons with the opportunity to give our patients a more personalized surgical plan based on their actual anatomy. This is achieved with the use of a preoperative CT scan of the surgical area and uploading the images to the robot, giving the surgeons a 3D model to work with. MMH acquired the state-of-the-art Mazer X Stealth Edition spine robot in December. Spinal robotic surgery assists a neurosurgeon by allowing for easier and safer navigation of delicate spinal structures, minimally invasive pedicle screw placement, and less time for patients to be under general anesthesia. Dr. Dimi has performed a total of 15 spinal robotic surgeries to date. Last month, we received our Stryker Mako joint robot and began robotic-assisted knee replacements this week. The Stryker Mako joint robot allows orthopedic surgeons to make more precise cuts, permitting more accurate placement and adjustment of the joint implant. This will reduce the amount of soft tissue destruction which occurs with traditional knee replacement. Use of the robot also enables us to do more partial knee and patellofemoral knee replacements. As a result, both spine and knee replacement surgery patients should experience faster recovery, less discomfort, fewer potential post-operative complications, and a decreased length of stay. Care at the Total Joint and Spine Center is provided by a dedicated staff of nurses, patient care assistants, or staff physical occupational therapists, social workers, and other ancillary personnel who possess specific training, knowledge, and skills required to care for this patient population. Each of our programs is built upon evidence-based practices and clinical pathways and follows national guidelines, standards of practice recommended by organizations such as the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. The ultimate goal of each of our programs is patient optimization and continual performance improvement to ensure our patients have the best outcomes possible by regaining function, reducing pain, restoring mobility, and ultimately improving their quality of life. Total Joint and Spine Center staff collaborate with the surgeons' offices to ensure all preoperative testing, medical clearances, education, patient, family, and discharge planning is completed before surgery. Preoperative education classes for total joint and elective spine surgery are mandatory. While some may feel this is unnecessary, literature shows preoperative education classes to be beneficial by reducing anxiety, improving patient family understanding, increasing overall satisfaction, and help to prevent unnecessary ER visits post-operatively. Each patient receives an education binder which addresses FAQs and provides a valuable resource for them once they return home. Because of COVID-19, classes currently are being conducted online and by phone. The staff of the Total Joint and Spine Center are frequently recognized by our patients and their families for the care and attention they receive. As clinical manager for the Total Joint and Spine Center, I can say without hesitation the community of Midland is fortunate to have these programs and such an amazing team in place. I'm very proud to work alongside them. Our programs would not be as successful as they are without each and every one of them.
This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Looming Shutdown of Pipeline Could Threaten Bakken, by Robert Tuttle and Sheila Tobin, Bloomberg. It was once the center of America's shale boom, a vast reservoir of crude unleashed by hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, turning North Dakota into the second largest oil producer in the U.S. and helping transform the nation into the world's largest supplier. These days, the Bakken is looking like anything but a boom. Drilling in the once prolific shale formation straddling North Dakota, Montana, and parts of Canada has all but halted. Another victim of the pandemic that sapped fuel demand worldwide. Output is believed to have fallen by as much as 500,000 barrels a day this year. Even before the virus, drillers there were struggling to compete with fast improving margins in Texas's Permian Basin. Now, the looming shutdown of the Dakota Access Pipeline that carries more than a third of the region's oil to market threatens to keep the play from booming ever again. This court ruling will create major obstacles for producers in North Dakota, who've been struggling to rebound, said Sandy Phelan, director of research for Morningstar Inc. The buyers of Bakken crude, he said, will simply turn elsewhere for supplies once the pipelines dry up. On Monday, a U.S. District Court ruled that Energy Transfer LP's Dakota Access Pipeline will have to shut by August 5th. If the ruling survives appeals, it would be the first time a major pipeline in service was ordered shut because of environmental concerns. Exactly how long it will be down is unclear. The court has decided it should remain closed until a proper environmental review is complete. That process could extend into 2021. One thing's clear, the closure will be devastating for the Bakken, which once jostled to become the nation's most prolific crude-producing field and defined the careers of some of the most well-known titans of shale, including Continental Resources Inc.'s Harold Hamm and Whiting Petroleum Corporation's former chairman, Jim Volker. Dakota Access, which started up in 2017, was fundamental to advancing North Dakota's oil production. Output grew to a record volume of 1.52 million barrels a day in November, but has fallen since the spread of the coronavirus devastated demand. The state expects crude output in May probably fell below 1 million barrels a day for the first time since 2017. Even before the pandemic, it was struggling to attract investment as more money flowed to the Permian Basin of Texas and left reeling from Whiting's bankruptcy in April. Bakken producers have shut in nearly 7,000 wells as oil markets languish due to the pandemic, according to the Back and Restart Task Force. Shutting the pipeline will mean oil can't leave the state economically at a time when a pandemic-related glut gives buyers plenty of oil to choose from. Dakota Access connects with Energy Transfer's ETCO crude pipeline and provides users a pathway to send barrels from North Dakota to the Gulf Coast. This system charges from $5.50 to more than $8 a barrel. The alternative of using rail would double the cost of transportation. The Bakken was already losing its luster in favor of oil fields in Texas, which are cheaper to produce. The number of rigs drilling for oil there tumbled more than 80% this year, according to Baker Hughes Company. Capital allocation, on a relative basis, was more skewed to the lower break-evens that exist in the core areas of the Permian. Vincent Piazza, senior U.S. oil and gas analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, said by phone. Even operators in the Bakken were looking elsewhere. The price of Bakken crude at Clearbrook, Minnesota weakened Monday, with the discount to West Texas Intermediate oil widening $1.15 to $2.75 a barrel, the biggest decline since late May, data compiled by Bloomberg show. Phillips 66, which owns a stake in the pipeline, said Monday it was disappointed in the court ruling. The negative impacts resulting from this court's decision to markets, consumers, and jobs up and down the energy chain will inflict more damage on an already struggling economy and jeopardize our national security, Dennis Nuss, a spokesman, said in an emailed statement. Continental, a shale producer founded by Hamm, said the bulk of its oil is shipped on other pipelines. That being said, we believe that today's DAPL court decision is harmful to royalty owners, the state of North Dakota, and the American consumer, Kristen Thomas, a spokeswoman, said in an email. This decision will serve to drive the price of crude higher. This article is entitled, Report, Global Demand Could Fall by 2.5 Million Barrels a Day, by Paul Takahashi, Houston Chronicle. Global oil demand could fall by 2.5 million barrels per day as coronavirus cases surge in several countries, including the U.S., according to a new report. If coronavirus-stricken regions impose new restrictions on business and travel, global oil demand could fall to 86.6 million barrels per day, down from the current 89 million barrels per day, a report from Rystad Energy said. The Norwegian energy research firm doesn't expect global demand to decline as it did in April, when oil demand fell to 73.7 million barrels per day, down from about 100 million barrels per day before the pandemic brought on widespread lockdowns. If coronavirus cases continue to rise, global oil demand will recover more slowly in 2021 than previously expected. A so-called second wave and subsequent drop in oil demand would keep the glut of crude in storage, force refineries to pull back, and send oil prices downward, Rystad said. North America, and particularly the U.S., likely will be hit hardest by the rising coronavirus cases, Rystad said. Work-from-home policies and travel restrictions will further constrict demand for jet fuel and gasoline. The rise of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. is of particular concern for the oil market, given the country's high oil consumption under normal circumstances, as this second wave could paralyze road fuel demand, Rystad said. This article is entitled, Oilfield Service Companies Cut Another 8,600 Jobs in June, by Sergio Chapa, Houston Chronicle. Still feeling the sting of record low commodity prices, oilfield service companies cut another 8,600 jobs in June, a new report from the Houston-based Petroleum Equipment and Services Association shows. The sector's workforce, which includes drilling rig crews, hydraulic fracturing fleets, and equipment manufacturers, employed nearly 670,500 across the United States in June. The figures mark a drop of roughly 8,600 jobs from May and a loss of more than 116,000 jobs since June of 2019. Although the rate of oil field service sector job losses has slowed, the association said industry analysts remain concerned about additional job losses as coronavirus cases continue to rise throughout the United States, which could potentially cut demand for crude oil, gasoline, and related products. West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. benchmark for crude oil, is trading above $40 per barrel, but remains well below the $55 per barrel price needed by most domestic producers to be profitable. The oilfield service sector employed a peak of 941,796 people in the United States in October 2014, just as an oil price crash ignited a two-year downturn that eliminated one in three oilfield service jobs. Shutdowns aimed at halting the spread of the pandemic hammered global demand, sending oil prices tumbling in March and April. Service sector job losses were heaviest in April, when 59,666 layoffs were reported, at the same time the price of oil collapsed to below zero.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, July 5th, 2020. The opinion page. Guest view from the Beaumont Enterprise. High-ranking officials should not dispute word of Fauci, other experts. As the nightmare of this pandemic has unfolded across America, one person has stood out as a beacon of logic and knowledge. That person is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He has been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984 and one of the top members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Fauci is widely recognized as one of the world's leading experts on infectious diseases. At one of the most challenging times in our history, he has been calm, articulate, and factual. Yet, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, says Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about. Absurdly, Dan Patrick said of Fauci, he has been wrong every time on every issue. I don't need his advice anymore. That's shameful and ignorant. Patrick is an embarrassment to Texas. Fortunately, Governor Greg Abbott is more aware of what this moment needs, ordering on Thursday the statewide wearing of masks. Think about what Patrick said. Not that he occasionally disagreed with Fauci on this point or another. No, this politician claims that one of the country's top scientists has been wrong every time on every issue. Good grief. How can this be happening in a state with advanced medical facilities like the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center and outstanding universities and researchers? High-ranking public officials should not undermine the words of Fauci and other experts in this crucial battle. Mind you, they don't have to necessarily agree with every single step that scientists recommend on, saying closing businesses or reducing travel, but they should not reject their expertise, and they should not dispute the basic facts of this disease, that it is primarily spread by breathing in air exhaled by infected people, and that masks and social distancing are the best ways to reduce its spread. Yet, Patrick goes on Fox News, another organization that has fueled denial and distractions like hydroxychloroquine, and insults one of the finest medical minds in the country. That's not going to help Texas get past this disease, and in fact, it will hurt us. Some people will hear Patrick's words and think there must be something to them, since he is the lieutenant governor. Then they may think they don't have to wear a mask or social distance because they mistakenly believe this threat is not so serious. That's one of the reasons the virus is surging in Texas. Indeed, the very day that Patrick uttered his nonsense, Texas saw 7,700 new infections of COVID-19 and more than 6,500 total hospitalizations from the disease. Sadly, this late in the pandemic, both were record highs. When Patrick spoke out against Fauci, he was specifically irritated that Fauci had testified at a U.S. Senate hearing and said that more than 50% of the new infections in the country are coming from Texas, Florida, California, and Arizona. Patrick may not like to hear that, but the numbers are undeniable. Those numbers also won't go down if Texans listen to hacks like Patrick instead of actual experts like Fauci. Dr. Fauci does indeed know what he's talking about, and the sooner we all accept his advice and guidance, the sooner this ordeal will be behind us.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, is pre-diabetes reversible, and if not, is it permissible to eat sweets and starches in moderation if you have it? CW. Answer. In many cases, pre-diabetes can be reversed. In North America, by far the most common type of diabetes is type 2, and a major risk factor is being overweight. As a rule, our diets include far too much refined starch, like white bread, pasta, and rice, and simple sugars, and our lives are far too sedentary. Addressing any of these risk factors can have a significant effect on the complex metabolic condition that, left unchecked, will eventually become diabetes. Addressing all of them has a more than additive effect. The majority of my patients diagnosed with prediabetes are able to get to normal blood sugar levels with modest or moderate changes in their lifestyle. People with type 1 diabetes have a different issue. Type 1 is an autoimmune disorder that attacks the insulin-making cells of the pancreas. A proper diet and exercise will also help people with type 1 diabetes, but they absolutely need insulin. Having diabetes does not mean that you can never eat sweets again, but in moderation might mean different things to different people. The right amount of sugars and starches depends on your size and activity level. A diabetes provider, educator, or dietitian, nutritionist can make personalized recommendations. I am fortunate to work in a practice where all of these resources are immediately available to our patients.
Dear Abby, heartbreak awaits sons when Dad is released from prison. Dear Abby, 3 years ago, I found out my husband had sexually abused one of his nieces. He took a lie detector test, failed it, and confessed. Learning the truth was devastating, and I felt like a fool for having believed him. We have two children together, both teenaged boys. I had to give my boys the bad news about what their father had done and the reason I could no longer be with him. He had to move out because he was restricted from being with minors. There were so many changes. Then came the news that their father was arrested and sentenced to 6 years in prison. I was emotionally drained. I have always been honest with my boys and have never kept anything from them, because I've had to give them so much bad news. I have tried my best to give them the happiest times that I could. Soon after, he was sent away. I received word that when he gets out, he will be deported to Mexico. This is something I haven't told my boys yet. They are talking about having a life with their father. When he gets out, they will both be adults. My youngest talks about living with him. When they find out, they will be heartbroken. They have been doing so well. We've come a long way, and we're finally in a happy place. I don't know how or when to tell them. Should I do it now or wait until closer to his release date? I'm just over the sadness. Emotionally drained. Dear emotionally drained, hang on to your happiness because you deserve all of it that is coming your way. You and your sons have been put through an ordeal not of your making. I see no reason to burden them further with this unhappy news until closer to the time of your husband's release. By then, they will be older and better able to adjust to what it will mean if they choose to live with or spend time with their dad. Dear Abby, I'm an older woman who is not very attractive. I didn't inherit good looks. This bothers me because all my women friends are married or have been in relationships. People say looks don't matter, but they are mistaken. The first thing someone sees is your face and physical presence. I keep myself neat and nicely groomed, but I'm not pretty. What do I do to lift myself from this depression? I'm ashamed of my face. Facing It in California. Dear Facing It, everyone has strong points that make them unique. My mother used to say that the most effective cosmetic is a smile. You might have better luck if you focus less on what you think you don't have and start concentrating on what you do have to offer. Not everyone is a beauty contest winner, and they manage to couple up and have healthy relationships with the opposite sex, and sometimes the same sex. Do you have a special talent, a pleasing personality, or a good sense of humor? You appear to have a serious case of low self-esteem. The solution to your problem might be as simple as widening your circle of acquaintances by getting involved in activities you enjoy. But before doing that, it might be in your interest to talk with a licensed mental health professional for help in becoming less critical of yourself. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Aquarius until 2:13 p.m. when the moon enters Pisces. Happy birthday for Wednesday, July 8, 2020. Pragmatic and hardworking, it drives you nuts not being able to work, but you do very well financially this year. So responsible are you that it behooves you to lighten up. You can be hilariously witty. If single, an old tie could break and a new one emerge this year. If attached, love trends are definitely improving. You need to take time off just to enjoy each other. Gemini is a ton of fun. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. A feeling of lightness and hope is generated. You will be motivated and encouraged by positive, productive friends. Involvement with organizations and worthwhile causes or social groups adds new meaning to your life. Tonight, an exciting new creative project is rich with promise. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Always the financial wizard of the zodiac. You have kept a close eye on changing trends in the world of money. Be receptive to new sources of income now. Your whole concept of financial planning might shift. Tonight, growth and changes lead to improvement. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. You enjoy learning and are something of a perpetual student. There is some frustration regarding educational plans right now. Be patient and receptive to changes. Temporarily, at least, it might be best to abandon formal education for your children. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Inspirational ideas about your career path set you apart from the crowd at work. Do not be upset, though, if others have a bit of trouble truly understanding you. Be very honest. Ask questions and do research to resolve confusion. Tonight, put spiritual values above practical. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. An existing relationship develops new depths of beauty and tenderness. There is an end in sight to problems that have demanded time and attention for the past few months. Authority figures and institutions are more caring and helpful. Tonight, celebrating. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Health is a favorite topic for Virgos, but be careful of overtreating any maladies or mixing different medicines. Now marks a time of healing and increasing strength. A clean, orderly environment adds to your well-being. Tonight, don't let stress wear you down. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Romantic interludes have a surprise and faded quality. If lonely and single, you might connect with a true soulmate. If you pursue your favorite art form with enthusiasm, you will be rewarded with exceptional results. Tonight, spiritual forces inspire creative expression. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Balance sentiment and affection with humor and regard for the growth and goals of loved ones. It is easy to be a little too protective and generous. Add music or a new piece of art to your home. Tonight, a new friend offers valuable suggestions. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Often you have been accused of being tactless, but you will be able to lose that foot and mouth reputation forever today. An event helps considerably with this. If you have wanted to write for publication, now is the time. Tonight, a neighbor calls for help. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. Expect subtle power plays to unfold regarding money and possessions. You will experience changing values and priorities. A job skill you learned in the past will suddenly be in demand again. Tonight, analyze patterns in order to unlock the secret of financial success. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Your natural dignity and self-control will help you gracefully balance your domestic life with your professional persona. There are important synchronicities unfolding. Your timely response will turn any negative attention into positive recognition. Tonight, let go of the status quo. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 3 stars. Your perpetually active inner life will become more colorful and vivid. It might surprise you if friends and relatives born under air signs accuse you of withholding information. You will manage to satiate their curiosity and still be discreet. Tonight, you feel open and vulnerable. Born today, psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, 1926, actor Jeffrey Tambor, 1944, writer Marianne Williamson, 1952.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.